We're going to start in the book of Joshua, the 11th chapter. That's where we're going to start at. And I want to stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. I'm going to just read one verse of Scripture. That is the last verse in the 11th chapter. Now, we'll be doing more later, but right now I want to read the 23rd verse. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war. Let us pray. Father, I sure do thank you for your grace and your mercy. You're just good, Father. Thank you. And thank you for just who you are. You're the great, the true, the living God. And I thank you for that. And I thank you for this privilege to preach tonight, Father, that which I believe you've given me to preach. And Lord, you know your servant. You know what I need. And I ask you, Lord, to fulfill that for me. And certainly I need your power as I preach, and wisdom, Lord, that I'll bring forth the message that's proper and appropriate, Lord, tonight. And so, Lord, you just help me, and help us as a people just to learn a little bit tonight from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We find here in this verse of Scripture a very, I believe, important verse. God tells us here that Joshua steps into the land, and the Bible says the whole land was taken. And then, of course, if we went back, if you go back to first of chapter 11, you find that he gives us instructions. He gives the instructions about Moses and the land that he took. He took the land on the east side of Jordan. And then you go on down and you spend the rest of the chapter. You find that God gives us a listing of the land that Joshua took. And there was, 31, if I remember correctly, 31 kings that's listed that Joshua smote and captured. And then, of course, he says here in this verse of Scripture that all then the land was taken. And what I want to do, and we won't spend a lot of time reading this, but you go on then over to chapter 13, and we find it says, now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. We find it at the end here, and Joshua's old, and he's getting ready to go on. And we find that there's still a lot of land that needs to be possessed. Now, what I want to help us tonight with is this. I believe when you look at all that God did for us, he gave us salvation free. It was free. Amen. None of us done anything for it. It was Jesus done it all. But at that same time, Jesus Christ won our victory and everything else in life. You see, we forget that sometimes. But what he says is, and he tells us, is that after we are saved, that's given to us. But after we're saved, the power to overcome the things in our life that should be overcome, the power is there in Jesus Christ to do that. And I think we forget that sometimes. But what he said to the Israelites was, he said, now you're in the land. I want you now to go each tribe and possess that which is yours. the land was theirs. It was given by God. You go back to the first chapter of Joshua and you read those first few verses and you will find that God says, I gave you this land. I gave it to you. It's yours. And then as he gets them into the land and he divides the land up, it's up to each tribe to go and possess that land. It just don't automatically fall into their hands. And you'll find then over in the book of Judges as you read that many of the tribes did not drive out the inhabitants. All of the inhabitants. In fact, time and time again, the tribes will be mentioned. The Word of God says they did not drive out the inhabitants. And in fact, many times it tells about that those inhabitants lived among them. And when they lived among them, they gave them trouble for the rest of their lives. Now, what the Lord is saying to us, you have all victory in Jesus Christ. We did not just inherit a part of Christ. We have him all. He's ours. And the power to overcome the things in our life that should be overcome is ours. We just are told to go and possess it. Amen. I call it the possession of the land. We need to possess the land. Yes, God gave us everything, gave us salvation, gave us Jesus Christ completely and fully. He had complete victory. His victory was not partial. Do you agree with that? His victory was complete. Now, he says, it's up to us to go and possess the land. Sure, God says, it's yours, but you have to go in and possess it, you see. not one of us in this room has won every battle that we've fought. And I would say since you've become a Christian, you're surely much like me. You and I have fought quite a few battles. We've had to face quite a few things. We've had to face some things that was in our life that ought not to have been there. And we had to do something about it. We had to go and possess that land. It just don't automatically happen. The other day, I was at here a while back. I was out in my shop and I was making something, and I had a board there, and I cut it wrong. I don't know any of you's ever done that or not, but I have, and I cut it wrong, and I just kind of stopped and I just kind of looked up to heaven, and I said, Lord, you could have reminded me before I cut it. And so the Lord and I had a little conversation. Let me put it this way. The Lord had a little conversation. I didn't have much to say. But he said, son, you need to slow down and take your time and think about what you're doing. I'm not here just to correct everything that you're going to do wrong. I gave you the capability to do it. Now use it. And it taught me something. In all seriousness, it taught me something. I said, God, you know that's right. I said, what I've got to do is be careful. I got to think. Because I have a tendency to just go ahead and do it, you know. I've got it now. Well, I got to stop and think. And God is telling us there's a lot of land out there that you and I have that hasn't been possessed. But it's there for us. And he expects us to possess it. And we need to possess that. Let me say, first of all, that we need to possess, first of all, the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now listen. All of us need to be more like him. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to turn over to the book of Philippians, the third chapter of the book of Philippians. And I want to read verse 8 through 10. In the book of Philippians, the third chapter. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. You've been around a long time, and you believe that. You understand it has nothing to do with our righteousness. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You understand that. He said, and why? He says in verse number 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. The purpose that Paul speaks of here, and he says, it's so that I can know him. Now let me say something. I know this is a very elementary thing, but you and I need to possess our Bibles. We need to know our Bibles. Everything in life, everything, no matter what part of life we're talking about, everything is in life is to be determined by the Scripture, by the Word of God. How do you deal with problems and troubles? The Word of God tells us how to do that. And without knowledge of Jesus Christ, and I've heard our pastor say many times, read through the Gospels and watch how Jesus does this or does that. See how he handles this situation and that situation. We need to possess our Bibles. We need to know our Bibles. We need to know how Jesus would do something. We need to know the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. We need to know that so we'll know how to react, what to do, how to handle things. That's what he was teaching me when he said, just pay attention to what you're doing and take your time and you won't miss cut. Jesus, the carpenter, would not have missed cut. Is that right? He never done anything wrong. So I need to know him. And I need to know how he handles things and what he does. I need to know that. Then what you do is you take the knowledge of Christ, the knowledge of the Bible, and you begin to apply that to the experiences of life. And you use those on a constant basis. How do I handle this in life? What do I do with it? How do I handle this situation? What do I say or what do I do not say? We do that by the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and through the Bible, we can handle things the way they're to be handled. If you know not the Bible, if you don't know the Bible, and you don't know the principles of the Word of God, you're going to mess a lot of things up. So again, what we need to do, all of us, every one of us has enemies. We have strongholds that's a hold of us when we first get saved. We have habits that we should not have. Every individual has those, and many times they're deeply entrenched. You know as well as I do, God does not all at once just simply remove them from us. He does not just take them away. He says, you possess that. You possess that land. You use the Scripture. You use the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And you take care of that matter. You see, there is victory in Jesus Christ. There is victory in Jesus Christ. Yes, there is. Always there is victory in Jesus Christ. You see, we must, in our experiences, turn every area of our life over to Jesus Christ. Let me explain this just a little bit. A man may have a business, or he may have a job. That job and that business ought not to possess you. You ought to possess it. I know everybody has to work. I understand all of those things. I'm just simply saying, though, you ought to be the one in control through the power of Jesus Christ rather than that job in control. You have to possess that thing, or it takes over your life. And it determines what you do and what you don't do, and when you go to church and when you don't go to church. I've been there. I'm just telling you. I'm not telling anybody how you ought to handle it. I don't know how you're to handle it, but I've been there where I've turned down multitudes of Sunday work because I was to be in church. Now, I'm just telling you. I'm not saying that's ever, I don't know what you should do. I'm just telling you that God wanted to test me, and he said, you got to possess this thing. Either you're going to preach and you're going to be in church like you should be, or you're going to be over there at Anaconda Aluminum Company working. I'm just saying to you, you've got to possess it. It can't possess you. And no matter what that job is, no matter what that business is, you've got to take the scriptures and see what God would say about it and what you should do scripturally. What would Jesus do? What would he do? Don't you think that's a good principle? What would Jesus do? Now, not only that, there's habits in everybody's life. Sometimes they're good habits. You get up of a morning, you read your Bible, that's a good thing. You spend time in prayer, that's a good habit. That's a good thing. There's good habits, but there's also bad habits. And what you have to do is the power of Christ is there to overcome those habits that are not good. You have to possess them. You know right now what some probably, if you have them, habits in your life that you really know need to be gone away with. Lay aside that sin which does so easily beset you. You know what that is. You can do away with it. You can possess it. In the power of Christ, you absolutely can do that. Not only that, in marriages. Let me just say this. One of the main problems in marriages, I've dealt with people for 40 years. I understand, I think I have a deep understanding of some of the problems and troubles that come into marriages. But let me say this to you. Jesus is the answer. And the Word of God is the answer. You must possess that marriage with the knowledge of the Word of God, and you must begin to behave yourself the way the Bible tells a husband to behave himself and a wife to behave herself. You're to do the work of the wife, and you're to do the work of the husband. You do it according to the Word of God. You possess that marriage. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You see, people say, well, you don't understand my problems. Don't make any difference what your problem is. Jesus Christ is bigger than any problem. And he's greater than any problem. I know there's troubles. I know any time two human beings get together, it isn't going to be maybe everything you think it might be. But that don't make anything that you ought to quit. You take the scriptures, you take the Word of God, you find out what God says about marriage, and you follow it. That's what you do. And I'll guarantee you something, it'll work out if you follow it. Okay. See, you possess that land, that marriage, you see. You possess it. Children come along. You and I are told by the scriptures that we're to train up our children in the way which they should go. We're to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's what we are to do. That's what we are to do. You see, we're to do what God says. See, we've got all of these ideas, and I even hear sometimes some ideas from people that are so unscriptural. The Word of God tells us how to raise children. And you need to possess that land. You need to decide, according to the Scripture, that you're going to raise your children according to the Word of God. What it says, do. You understand what I'm saying? You see, that's land that you have never possessed. And you need to possess it. We see children doing things, and as they grow up, we see them forming habits that they never should form. And a lot of that is because parents are not training them and teaching them in the way of the Lord. Do you understand what? No, it's you and my responsibility to train them up. When you see problems in their life, correct those problems. Get them straightened out as early as you can get them straightened out. You see, you possess that land. Another thing, let me say to you, finances, one of the greatest things that's causing problems in people's lives is finances, and it's foolish, foolish, foolish. God never intended for that to be that way. He says more about finances in the Bible than you can shake a stick at. You need to get your Bible. You need to open it up and see what God says about finances and how you ought to handle finances. You see, here's the problem, one of the problems. People want to live above their means. Folks, don't live above your means. If I don't care what the Joneses or someone else in this church is living, it doesn't make any difference. You live according to your means, according to what God has given you. And finances won't become a problem. See, down through the years, you don't know how many times I've sat in my office and said to a couple that's having financial problem, and that here many times, here's what they say to me, but you know, God promised to take care of us, and God didn't provide for us. And I always say to them, you are acting so foolish like a little child. You see, He did provide for you. You misspent it. Everybody, many people today, they think that just because a dollar comes in, that dollar ought to be spent. That's not true. That may dollar may be for down the road when something else comes up. You see, you've got to spend money correctly. Make sure it's something that you really need. You understand what I'm talking about? You see, I'm just saying to you folks, finances, it's foolish for them to become a problem. I remember back, and sometimes it is true, you know, Elijah was there at the brook and the brook dried up. Let me tell you something, sometime God cuts off finances to change directions. The Lord sent him then to a widow in Zarephath, and she fed him. And sometimes God does that. Sometimes God cuts off, and it's a thing to show and that he wants a direction in your life. But let me say to you folks, listen, watch your finances. Possess your finances. Don't let them possess you. Use money wisely. You understand? I mean, does that help a little bit? And honestly, go back look over all that you're doing in your finances and begin to possess it. Don't let it possess you. And if you don't have as much as somebody else down the road or somebody else in this church, it doesn't make any difference. It's what God gave you. And you should not spend a dime more than that. So again, I'm saying, you know why? It's land that's never been possessed. We just let it run wild. Again, we could look at so many things, but your thought life. Folks, we have to possess that. Satan is wicked. He wants to take that mind of yours, and he wants to control it, and he wants to use it for everything but what is good and proper. Think upon the good things, he says. And we must possess that land. It must become ours. When he tries to do something that ought not to be done, you've got to stop it. You've got to stop and say, I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to think upon the good things, because that's what God tells me to do. See, that's land that's never been possessed in many people's lives. That's where, in all seriousness, gossips just go wild. They've never possessed that land. They never have possessed it. Do you understand? See, there's no necessity to gossip and run people down and tell stories that ought not to be told. And there's no need of that whatsoever. See, you don't have a hold of it. You don't have never possessed that land if that's your case. But God would have us to possess that land. And I would say to you, we can look at all kinds of things. We can look at the time factor. I'm not going to probably go any further than that, but every one of us has 24 hours. I know our schedules are different. I understand all of that, but you should possess the schedule, not old Satan. You should determine. You should possess it in a godly manner. You do have time to read your Bible. You do have time to pray. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And you need to possess that. You need to get a hold of that. It needs to become a habit of your life. You do have time, and I do too, to witness for Christ. We have that time. You see, but it goes back to the fact, have we possessed that? Has it become ours? Instead of letting Satan or someone else rule our life, Jesus has given us the power, the ability to do it. Amen. You see, my children, as they was growing up, my wife and I raised them, and we got them up. They become adults. Let me tell you something. I can't rule their life for them. They've got to mature. They've got to fight the same battles to some degree that their daddy and mommy fought. They've got to decide some things in their life. What am I going to do in life? They've got to decide that. They've got to decide, am I going to live for God? Am I going to be faithful? Am I going to pray? Am I going to do the things that I ought to do? Am I going to do that? They've got to decide that. They've got to possess that land. Amen. It's there, available. The power of God through Jesus Christ, it's available, but will they possess it? Will they do right? You see what I'm saying? Every individual has to do that. So, in Philippians, the third chapter, let me start reading at verse 12. What do we do to possess the land? Look at verse 12. Not as though I had already obtained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I have apprehended that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And what he's telling us is this. He's saying to us, we've got to possess that land. Jesus Christ has given it to us. It's ours, but we've got to possess it. He doesn't just automatically hand it to you. You and I, every single one of us, has to possess it. Now, the first thing we have to do, and I want you to listen very carefully. Every single person, listen very carefully. The first thing you have to do is surrender your will to the Lord Jesus Christ. Completely. Now, I want to ask a question. I want you to just listen to me a moment. Would you willingly, right now, this moment, say to the Lord Jesus Christ and mean it in your heart, I surrender my will completely and fully. Whatever your will is for my life, I surrender it to you. Can you say that? Can you say that and mean it in your heart? No, I mean it. not take it back, but say, Lord, it doesn't make any difference what it is. You just tell me, I will follow the will of God for my life. That's what it takes. You want to possess that land, then you must surrender yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask in all honesty, could you in your heart say that to the Lord today? And if not, why not? No matter what it is, the will of God should be done in your life and mine. Should be surrendered. That's what Paul basically was saying. It's Jesus, not me. It's not that I have apprehended. It's him that has apprehended me. Now, has Jesus apprehended you? Does he have you? Secondly, have you dedicated your life and your talents to the Lord? Every individual out here has talents. No, you say, oh, not. Yes, you do. Forget it. God has given you talents. I don't know all that your talents are, but God has given you and me talents. Now, have you dedicated them to the Lord? That God can use them. You may use them in your work. Whatever you do, that's fine. But have you dedicated them to the Lord? You understand what I'm saying? Remember, the will of God. I've given and surrendered my life over to the will of God, whatever it is. And I am dedicating my life, my talents unto the Lord. God, just use them. Because let me share with you, when that happens, he will begin to place you where you need to be. He will assign you to where you can be used. This church would have never been built without some godly men and godly ladies in doing some of the other things, but godly men that built the structures of these churches, because their talents was dedicated unto the Lord. And they was used by God. You see, but it isn't just in the building of a structure. Have you taken your life and given it over to the Lord and say, Lord, just use me wherever it is you want me to be used, just let me know. And here's what I wonder, because in chapter 13 of Joshua stood and God said, he's old and stricken and there's still a lot of land to be possessed. I just wonder sometimes if we'll be old and stricken and God would say that same thing to us. There was so much more I wanted you to possess. It was there available, but I wanted you to possess it. I wonder sometimes if God, when we get to heaven, I don't certainly know how that's going to transpire, but I wonder sometimes if he will show us what his will was, what could have been, if we'd have just listened, if we'd have just committed our life unto him. I wonder about that. Whether he will or not, I certainly don't know. But I think we will feel at the judgment seat of Christ the lacking in which we should have done for God and didn't. I believe that. Now again, most of that comes back to the fact we just failed to possess the land. We just refuse to do it. We just let them live amongst us. And they give us trouble for the rest of our life. I pray, in all seriousness, I just pray. I don't know how you answered the question, am I willing to completely yield my life to Jesus Christ. I don't know how you answered that. I really don't know, but if you said yes, I just want to tell you something. God takes that serious. You know, he takes it serious. And then dedicate whatever it is in your life and your talents that God has given you. Dedicate them unto the work of the Lord. I want to show you over in 1 Peter a verse of scripture. First Peter, the fourth chapter. The very last verse. I want you to listen very carefully to what God says. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful creator. God says that those that suffer according to the will of God. I want you to understand something. You probably already understand it, but all of us are different. And God calls upon each and every one of us, and he gives us a lot in life. He gives it to us. This is your lot. It may be that some will suffer much more than someone else. God says that's true if it is his will. We should accept that and be willing to suffer, or whatever it may be, according to the will of God. We've got to possess that land. We've got to live righteously and godly and willingly give God the praise and the glory for whatever he does. And he does call upon some to suffer more. Oh, yes, he does. You say, why? I haven't the slightest idea. I don't know why. That's God's business. I'm just saying to you, each one of us has been given a lot in life. And we are responsible for possessing those things, them lands that we don't own. And it's up to each one of us to do that. I don't know what your problem in life is, but you need to possess it. You need to get a hold of it. You understand what I'm saying? I don't know what it is. Maybe two or three things. Don't make a difference what it is. But you and I need to get a hold of those things and own them with God's help, Christ's power. So I'm just simply saying to you folks, take this simple message and think about it. And I hope everyone in here said, I would be willing to surrender my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what the Lord's going to ask of you. I have no idea what he's going to ask you. But are you willing to do the will of God? If not, you need to get a hold of that. You need to face that. You need to ask yourself some questions. What are you holding back? Why are you holding back? Because the perfect will of God is the best for your life. It's the best. Amen. And then dedicate to the Lord your life, your talents. And when he opens up those doors of opportunity, just go through them and be used of God. Amen. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you again today for your marvelous grace. You're good, you're kind, you're wonderful to us. And once again, take this simple message, please. Just take it and use it and glorify yourself and help we as Christians to do better. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.